Welcome to another episode of Talking Up Eagle Mountain, where we discuss a variety of topics related to Eagle Mountain City government, services, programs, and goals. I am Mayor Tom Westmoreland, and I'll be your host for this episode. Our subject matter for today is city budget and taxes. So this should be interesting. We've got Paul Jerome, our Assistant City Administrator and Finance Director, with us. Thank you for being here, Paul.
Thank you, Mayor.
We have Josh Barrington, our City Treasurer.
Hey, good to be here, Mayor.
Lori Jolly, our City Accountant.
Nice to be here, Mayor.
And Sandy Reed, Accounts Payable.
Nice to be here, Mayor.
And welcome all. So, and then we also, our producer is Linda Peterson, as always. So let's go ahead and jump right into this. I know this is budget season for the city, and budget is a very involved process, and when you throw taxes in there, it just adds all the more to it. So Paul, maybe you could get us started on tell us about the city budget process and how it, because certainly we can all relate to our own personal budgets, our family budgets. How is this similar or different when it comes to city versus personal budgets?
Well, the city budget's bigger, but the same elements that go into a personal budget, being able to match your revenues, your salary to the expenses you have in your personal budget. Same type of process is involved in the city budget, but we have the revenue sources for the city budget, of course, are taxes and fees. And unlike the federal government, we can't run at a deficit. So it's a zero-sum game. So the revenues have to match the expenses. Anything that we have left over goes to what's called fund balance. And that's in the general fund. We have a fund balance that we try to keep at the max that we're allowed, which is 25% of our anticipated revenues. And we do that just so that if there's anything that comes up that's an emergency type situation, that we have the ability to be able to address that. One of the main differences between a personal budget and a city budget is that in a city budget, it's a matter of funds. There's different funds, and they operate almost like different units. So you've got all these multiple different businesses that you're actually budgeting for, and they don't interact unless one fund owes another fund money. And then that happens if there's, let's say, an employee who is paid out of one fund, but they do services for another fund. That one fund is due money from the other to pay back the expenses. So that's how they interact. Other than that, they actually are separated in the budget. So those are some of the big differences.
So that sounds somewhat cumbersome, actually.
It is. It's complicated, and it gets you have to make sure you're keeping an eye on each one of those units, each one of those funds. They have to make sure they balance, and you have to make sure that you have the appropriate amount of reserve in there to be able to meet the needs of those funds.
You mentioned reserve. That's something that I know our city council takes pride in. That we take pride in as a city, and every city approaches that different. Can you speak for just a moment about reserves and how Eagle Mountain approaches that?
Yes. So in the general fund, we try to keep it, like I said before, at the 25% max that the state allows. Anything else above that actually goes to what's called the Capital Projects Fund. And that's allocated specifically for infrastructure. And it can't come back to the general fund unless the council has a hearing, a public hearing on that. So once it's in that general fund capital projects fund, it stays there. And that can be used for construction projects, new parks, basically new stuff. It's not repairs or anything like that. But the general fund, the reserve is kept at the max because that's where, if anything comes up that's out of the ordinary, an emergency or something that basically due to our growth has come up, all of a sudden, that we can respond to that and be able to use those funds if the council appropriates that money for that.
So the reserve is treated much like a rainy day fund.
Correct. Yep.
So talk to us a little bit about the tax structure. What can you tell us about taxes in Eagle Mountain?
Well, so we, you know, every homeowner or property owner in the city gets a tax bill from the county every year. And let's say that that tax bill is $2,000. And very little of that actually is coming to the city. About 7% of that bill is probably due to the city. The rest is, you've got the county, which is a big player on that, the biggest player. The school district, and then the county, and then the Unified Fire Authority, as well as any special service districts, you know, things like that. So the city is not very much of your total tax bill. And in fact, on the city budget, about $1.5 million of the total budget comes from property tax. So out of all the property in the city, the receipts that we get from property taxes is only $1.5 million.
And what is the, currently, where are we? What's the total city budget?
So the city budget for the operating year in which we're at right now, which is it's a fiscal year, so it goes from July 1st, the current one goes from July 1st, 2019 to June 30th of 2020. That budget's $14.1 million, but only $1.5 million of that's property tax. Some of the other tax receipts we receive is one of the biggest ones is sales tax, and that's about $4.3 million right now. We also get franchise tax for utilities that operate in our city, like Rocky Mountain Power and Dominion Gas. They actually pay in about a million. We also get receipts from gas tax. It's called BNC Roads for the city. And things like that. So all that plus developer revenue from our growth is what we get that $14.1 million from.
So this is fascinating to me because I think this is really an opportunity maybe for us to brag just a little bit about the value that our residents get with so little of that property tax money actually coming to the city. What all they get for the taxes they pay, they get a good deal. What is the current tax rate?
So our tax rate is exactly 0.000825, and that's the city portion. The total tax rate is 0.01 something. So I actually don't have it in front of me, but. We are actually on the list of just city taxes in the county. We're number 21 out of 24. So we actually have a very low tax rate for just the city, comparatively speaking, to other cities. So we've been in that, I'd say the bottom third, for years, really. And so as far as value to the residents, the total cost of government per resident is less than $300 a year. And when you think about that, and the fact that if you have a $2,000 property tax bill, and let's say $150 to $175 of that's going to coming to the city, that's less than what the cost is per resident. And that's where all those other taxes come into play, is to be able to fill that gap.
So if someone happens to live in an HOA, they're probably paying more to their HOA than they are to the city.
Right. And for instance, when the Ranches HOA was operating in the city, the bill for a resident there, a household there, was about $372, if I remember right, per year. And so the property tax from the city is less than half of that. It's not very much per month.
So Paul, you mentioned we were 21 out of 24, I believe were the numbers that you used. Can you give us a reference at all? Do you happen to have that in front of you as far as what other cities, towns we're comparing to there?
Yeah, so basically that compares us to every city in the county. So you've got in the first, as far as the top ones in the county.
Well, I was thinking just those that are kind of in the same neighborhood as we are as far as Texas.
Correct. So in that bottom third of the county, you've got Highland, Linden, Genola, Spanish Fork, Eagle Mountain, Fairfield, Cedar Fort, and Goshen. So those are the ones that we have tax rate. Our tax rate is kind of in the middle of all of those.
Is there anything else you can tell us that might be interesting as far as taxes go?
So I know that a lot of people wonder how we get so much sales tax in the city.
Because we don't have a lot of stores here.
Right. And luckily, the state government structured the sales tax revenues to be able to account for cities that are in the same boat as we are, which we're a bedroom community. We don't have a lot of retail right now that generate that sales tax. But the state knows that we are residents shop somewhere. So the sales tax is charged based on 50% of it's based on where it took place, so point of sale, and 50% is based on the population of the city. So there's a plug for the census that's coming up, because if we don't count everyone, if not everyone's counted, then that detrimentally impacts the revenues that we receive as a city. So luckily, because of our population, the state knows that we're shopping somewhere, and so that revenue is coming in. Now, if we had just all of our residents shopped right in Eagle Mountain, of course it would be higher. But until we get enough population to support those businesses, because it's really only Eagle Mountain, we don't have a lot of pass through from other cities. Unfortunately, we aren't going we're going to be a little slow at getting some of those retail outlets that other cities have. Because our residents are going elsewhere, but hardly anyone's actually coming into the city to support those retail outlets. So
with the budget, the whole tax process, this is obviously all public information and highly scrutinized, right? There's a lot of transparency efforts that go on, one of which is an audit. The city goes through a regular audit. So what can you tell us about that audit process? What takes place, and what does that mean when the city is audited, and why is it audited? How regularly is it audited?
So we're audited once a year, and it's an outside firm from Provo, Gilbert & Stewart is the firm that actually audits the city. And that's a requirement. An annual audit is a requirement from the state of Utah. We have to submit that to the state auditor's office every year. And so that audit process begins basically when the fiscal year ends. And we start closing out the accounts payable first, making sure we get all the invoices in for the projects that were completed by outside contractors within the fiscal year, make sure that those are actually paid within the fiscal year. As soon as we close that out, we start auditing our accounts, making sure we do reconciling entries, and prepare for the auditor to come and do testing. So the auditor will come in and pull documentation randomly, ask for things so they can review it to make sure it's been properly executed and paid, authorized, and even down to making sure that it was appropriated correctly by city council. So that process is meant to be able to not only assure the residents that their funds, their taxes are being accounted for correctly and treated correctly, but also that we can close out our books and make sure we can account for financially the exact status of the finances of the city by financial statements. And in conjunction with that, we actually do three different reports that we actually submit to the Government Finance Officers Association, which is a international finance officers association for government. We have our budget document, what's called our CAFR, which is our certified annual financial report, and then PAFR, which is called a popular annual financial report, which is basically a condensed version of the CAFR. And those are all available online on our website. And we receive awards for those. They're very in-depth and very thorough in how they explain what's going on with the budgeting process as well as the financial statements of the city.
And when will those audit reports be available to the public?
So the current one is available now. So they're completed. They have to be turned in to the state by the end of the calendar year, so December 31st. So the most recent one, the most recent audit that we've gone through is actually available online right now, as well as the PAFR. The budget that we're operating under right now is also available online. And as soon as we complete this budget process this spring and it's adopted in June, the next budget document will be put out online for residents to be able to view.
Well, thank you, Paul. There's a lot of information to cover here, and I feel like we've been neglecting our other guests, so let's go ahead. Let's pull them in here. So, Josh, let's go to you. So talk to us about the treasurer's responsibilities. What does the treasurer do, and share with us some of your perspective?
Well, certainly, as part of my position as a treasurer, in the checks and balances, I'm kind of either the last or the second to help with approving any purchases that might need to go through our approving and double checking things that might come from utilities, receipts, just a kind of a slew of different things. I also go over the accounts that we use to make sure and help Paul out with making sure that our budgets are meeting their needs, or if we need to have an amendment or anything like that, and bring that to his attention. Also in helping us keep up with any regulations that the IRS might have, double checking that we're following those regulations and keeping up with current changes.
Speaking of changes, of course, we're always looking for ways to improve operations here at the city, improve our reporting. What changes have you seen in improving that process?
Just recently we updated how we're processing our purchase order requests. So now to have a little bit more transparency of how to expect certain products, when we should be receiving services, and if it's a current vendor that we use or someone we purchase from regularly, we now have options to see that within our purchase order so that we can follow up at a future date to see if, you know, we receive those items or that service, to just make sure that everything's being used and spent properly.
Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Josh. Let's go to Lori Jolly now, city accountant. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you for being here. Tell us a little bit about what it's like to be an accountant here at the city of Eagle Mountain.
This is by far the best place I've worked, and we have an amazing team in the finance department.
We do.
And overall, with the city, I think we're all a great team, and I really appreciate that. My job is, a lot of it is assisting other people to gather information that they need.
And she's great at it.
She is.
Well, you know, this might be a bit of a stretch, but probably not everyone is excited about accounting processes. Is that a safe assumption?
I honestly thought I was going to be a fashion and display merchandiser when I was in college. So this is a big stretch, and I love it. I love my numbers.
Great.
So a lot of what I do is I do quarterly audits on escrow and deposit accounts that we hold. Those are funds that are paid for by the developer and the city holds for each development. I also make sure that the impact fee summary report is done on a monthly basis so that council is aware where we are with the impact fees and what we have collected.
Well, Lori, now you have you've been with the city for a little while, haven't you?
I've been here a really long time. I actually started in the utility billing office and moved to the finance department. I did a little bit of work in admin, went back to utility billing as a supervisor, and now I'm back in the finance department because Paul really wanted me back.
Yes, I did. She's got a lot of knowledge. One of the things that Lori's great at is understanding our financial software program. So she can, that's one of the ways that she can assist other departments that she talked about earlier, in pulling reports and financial data that helps them with what they need to do. So it's very valuable.
And how long have you been here, Lori?
I've been here for 17 years. And yeah, I honestly, it was an interesting start. I had a temporary job out here, and they offered me a position in utility billing, and that was the beginning.
So you have probably seen a few changes, have you not? Anything that any highlights you want to share as far as changes that stand out as the city has evolved in those 17 years?
I think one of the most amazing things that have happened throughout the past, probably the past few mayors, has been the stability in the city. I think that our citizens can count on the mayor and our council and our staff to do what's best for the city.
Well, thank you, Lori. Of course, I paid Lori to say that. No, just kidding. No, thank you very much. And no, certainly, yeah, stability, consistency is certainly something that we strive for. Let's bring Sandy into the discussion. Sandy's been around for a little bit as well. So now, Sandy, you're in accounts payable, is that right?
Yep.
So talk to us a little bit about your perspective from your position.
Well, I get the fun job. I get to pay for everything. From my perspective, my job is very important because it holds whether or not we get good bond ratings. And all the other ratings that we need to have.
And tell us, can you give us some insight why that is so important?
When we go out and get bonds for like the streets, bonds for our sewer, and anything like that, different ratings that we have will impact what kind of bond we get to have and how much we have to pay back on that bond. So it impacts us quite a bit.
So the better our rating, the more money we save, is that would be
yep.
a simple way to put it?
Yep, that's the easiest way to put
okay.
it.
All right, what else can you share with us?
My job is paying all the bills. I need to make sure that everything has the proper approval.
Now, can I just concur with that? I mean, Sandy is in my office on a regular basis making sure that everything is perfect and that we've all the papers been processed and everything is covered.
And right funds are used.
Yes, yes.
I'd say one of the things that's probably made Sandy's job a lot easier and has made us a lot better as a city is recent addition to Josh's job, and that is to have a vendor qualification form that's anytime we actually enter a new vendor in the system, that Sandy will eventually be paying, you know, through for services or products that we actually have to get for the city. It's basically this form has to be filled out with references, things that we can check on to make sure that this vendor is legitimate and they've done business for a long time and that we're going to get what we are supposed to be getting. And so that aids her, you know, Sandy, with that process, because then she can depend on that, and you know, as well as the approvals from the fund managers that this expense is going to be put into to be able to approve that purchase.
Now, that might not be real obvious up front why that's so important. Can you expand on that just a little bit? Why that's an issue?
Yeah, well, I mean, the taxes we receive in the city, they're special funds, and this represents our residents having earned money through whatever they're doing in their careers and paying that to the city to get services that we are supposed to provide for them to make their lives easier. And so we want to make sure we're safeguarding those funds. And the last thing we want to do is have a vendor that's not real be put into the system,
and
we're paying for something that we're not getting. And
why would that be a thing? I mean, maybe we're going out on a limb here a little bit, but I think it's important that we address this. Why is that a thing?
So that has happened in other cities, and that's one of the reasons why we implemented this, is to try to make sure that this does not happen in Eagle Mountain, because you know, if you have you know, especially with a fast-growing city like Eagle Mountain, where we're growing by, you know, 4,000 plus residents a year, things are moving quick. There's a lot of infrastructure that's being put into the ground, and you don't want to take your eye off that. You know, the fact that there's people out there that are going to be trying to take advantage of that. And so we want to make sure we get every take every opportunity we can to safeguard the funds of the city.
So again, kind of simplifying this a little bit, Sandy, in your role, is it safe to say that part of much, well, a good portion of what you do, and maybe even better the way you do it, is keeping honest people honest?
Yeah. I mean, with our system, we have to have, if, say, you go out and purchase something, you can't just go purchase it and have me pay the check for it. It has to have EFO signature or Paul's signature. Somebody else has to be in the loop of what you purchased. You can't. So we always have checks and balances that more than two people know what's going on. Multiple times it's four or five people know what's going on before it even gets to me. But I verify that the department head knows, that the city administrator knows when he needs to know, that the budget people might need, you know, have all that information. That's why our POs are important and our vendors are very important, to make sure that they're legit and that we've used them before. Helps out too, because then we know we have a reference with them.
Sure. Great. Well, as we're wrapping up the discussion, anything else we want to add? Anything else that we haven't thought of at this point?
We'll add that on February 4th, City Council meeting, our audit will be put forth to be accepted by City Council. So our auditor will actually come and present the audit to City Council and the public that are there. So.
Okay. Paul, earlier you mentioned about having the different accounts and not being able to transfer money just from one account to the other. Would you mind delving into that just a little bit deeper? Why that is the case, and why is that even important?
One of the most important reasons is because each of our revenue streams is specifically allocated for a specific purpose. So I'll take the general fund, for instance. So human resources is a good one to use as an example of this. So the human resource director is actually paid for out of the general fund, which the general fund is funded through taxes. But in that, we've got a water department and a sewer department, those funds that are actually paid for by a different source of revenue, mainly user fees for the services they provide. It's important that we make sure that it's not just 100% taxes that are paying for human resources when that person's also servicing that water and sewer fund. So her wage is coming out of the general fund, but the water and sewer funds have to actually make a payment. And we keep track of all these different employees that have duties that cross over different funds to make sure we're allocating properly. And they basically have to pay their bill. So now, it's not to say that we can't transfer money from one fund to another, but it has to go through a public noticing process and a public hearing, and City Council then has to vote on it. So if we were to say, hey, we want to use some of the water funds money to put in a new road, well, that's general fund monies that need to be paying for that. But if there's not enough, and it's the public's will and City Council's will to be using some of the water funds money, then it would go through an actual public noticing and public hearing process before that could ever take place. It can't just take place by saying we want to do it in the budget or that we just want to do it. The only transfer of funds between those funds that can take place without that process is when it's actually due. And we keep a record of all of that. And we actually let council know, you know, what those specific items are so they can see that.
So this ensures that all of our residents, anyone that's interested, can know where money comes from and how it's spent.
Correct.
Well, I want to thank our guests, Lori, Sandy, Josh, and Paul. Thank you all for being here. If a resident has a question, can they reach out to you for more information?
Of course.
Yes. Yeah, most certainly. Okay.
Our contact information is on the city website, and we're available for any questions.
All right. Well, again, I want to thank you all for being here. This has been an interesting discussion, and it's, I know it's really all compressed, so hopefully for the listener, it makes sense. We covered a lot of territory, and but it's fascinating. This is an ongoing thing with the city, And certainly any resident that wants to be involved in the whole budgeting process, they're welcome to attend the upcoming budgeting meetings at City Council. And all of those meetings are public, and we are always interested in perspective and input. And if people have questions or concerns, we're more than happy to answer those questions for them. That's why we're here.
Yes, we are.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, again, thank you. Did anybody have anything they want to add? Lori?
I wanted to add one thing that Josh does, and that's to make sure that the State of Utah Transparency Report is updated on a quarterly basis. So any resident who is interested in seeing the transparency report, it is available with the State of Utah.
Great. And I do recommend checking that out. It takes me quite a while to put that together.
So. Yes, it does.
Give me some feedback on that. Appreciate
I'm sure
it.
You're proud of it.
Yes. Very much yes. So.
So if any of our residents can't catch our meetings live, you can find those on the city website. And so I want to thank our listeners for listening in, and please encourage your friends to join us when they can. If you have any questions or any subject matter that you would like us to delve into in another podcast, please let us know. Again, you have been listening to Talking Up Eagle Mountain. Thank you for listening.
Hello, Evan here. If you would like to suggest a topic for a future episode of the podcast, you can send an email to info@emcity.org or send a text message to 801-358-1175. That's 801-358-1175.